Tell you what, I'm glad to be here with all of the brethren today. And first of all, I have to apologize for my sabbatical. Now, you got to understand, some things happened in many of our lives who left Delphi back in 2008. And the Bible says, if a man won't work, neither let him eat. And I got hungry. So I went back to work. But I took a job that was out of the city last year, and it really made it almost impossible for me to assume my normal routine. And I was fortunate back in March, I got a call from Chrysler Group, and they hired me. Now, that's a blessing, and then that also has a commitment. And we're going to talk a little bit about commitment today. So we are earnestly working in that environment right now. Glad to be back in an industrial setting and really just trying to deploy the tools that we have gained over the years. I'm going to take a slight departure in one word of the lesson text today, and it talks about a heart for the church. I'm going to change the word church to body. The reason I'm going to do that, the word church comes from the Latin word circe, and circe is a root word for circus, and his body is greater than a circus. And at Calvary, he did not purchase Ringling Brothers, he purchased his body. So if we can talk about the body today being the extended members all throughout the world, his universal constituents, if you let me say it like that, versus a four-walled institution that houses various meetings, various activities, various initiatives. So just let's use the word body today. And the thing I would tell you, the man we call Paul, and by his Hebraic name, he was called Shaul. This man made such a great contribution in his letters as the body or the assembly was being established. And you got to remember, they had just come through so many years of being under the Torah. And once again, the word Torah is what we would translate into the Greek word nomos, and we get law from it. But the Torah was the instruction. It was information that was intended to help mankind, the first four commandments, deal with how we deal with our Creator, the last six, how we deal with fellow man. And I would offer to you today that premise of engagement with him and with those in the body still exists. And if we do those things, I guarantee you, those requirements will catapult us into a greater term of endearment one with the other. Now, as Shaul would write many times, he was trying to strive for the unity of the body. And if you remember back in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he asked the provocative question, is Christ divided? You had some that said they were of Kephas, some that said they were of Jesus, some said they were of Paul. But he asked the question, is he divided? His body is not divided. Now, the thing we do, and we're bad at it as human beings, we like to partition things into our respective categories. And the thing I would offer to you, the body of the Mashiach, the Messiah, it's seamless. It crosses ethnic boundaries. It crosses countries. It crosses DNA boundaries. So when we look at his body, it is his extension to do the works that he told the disciples, and greater works will ye do. But if we are divided, if we do not have a heart for the various individuals in the body, then I would offer to you, we have sub-optimized the really great proclamation that he gave to us when he prayed, Father, I pray that they be one. Now you say, well, Anderson, I'm real good at my local assembly. I'm a very prominent member within my local assembly. The thing I would offer to you, the love that we exemplify in one setting has to cut across all of humanity. And I've been very fortunate in my life to have traveled and have been able to be in different entities. And the thing that I would tell you, we are able through diverse settings to be able to drive the unity which he wants. And I'll be very honest with you, and I saw Harry Kenworthy here when we were down in Mexico. We were in a sitting that had probably the greatest diversity. We had Hispanics, people of color, Caucasian, all in one assembly. And the thing about it, there was a love that really was visible, because we are supposed to have a love for one another. I think in the third chapter of the Epistle of John, it talks about, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So many times we are unwilling to let go of things that we use to identify ourselves, but Shaul said, I die daily. All of us have to die. Some of the baggage that we have brought from the previous life experience, we've got to get rid of it as we come and abide and grow in his body. That's the truth. And if we don't do that, we suboptimize the work of the body. I was very fortunate, about 3 months ago, I got an email from a fella in Australia, the land down under. And somehow he had gotten in contact with some teaching that I did after a conference about 5 years ago. He wrote me an encouraging email and says, continue to preach the word. And he's in Australia. The thing I'm trying to point out, though we met maybe twice, there was a love for my ministry, even though I was thousands of miles away. And so many times, the thing that catches up the love for the church or for the body is a sense of preeminence. Now, you got to remember what happened. Shaul wrote on one occasion, he said, Diotrephes, he loves to have the preeminence. And I'm going to tell you, that spirit is coming alive more and more prevalent today, because what we have done, we have shifted the words of the Messiah to where we forgot, he that would be great among you, let him be your servant. Your servant. That's how we become great. That's how the body becomes its full, capable, energy charged thing that will change the world. And the reason the first assembly was able to turn the world upside down is they loved the body. They loved one another. If you remember, I think in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, there was a concern that the Grecian widows were not receiving the same amount of support that the Hebraic women were. And I think they assembled themselves, the apostles, they said, let us pick out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and let them take this matter. And the reason, somebody said, well, ministry and preaching and teaching is more important than a few women getting a few biscuits. No, it's all important to him. Right. It's all important to him. The sparrows, when they get up, he provides for them. The lilies of the field, they toil not, but he provides for them. So if we really are to gain the full ethos of his body, as Shaul or Paul wrote, there has to be a love. And a love will always cause us to deny ourselves. So as I looked at this, I said, okay, we have these meetings, and you got to believe me, Huddle is a great, I want to say, catalyst to project the love in the body. Because what it does, it causes us to sit with different individuals, listen to different people, and it really causes us to expand our horizon such that we are more capable in the body. I was teaching a lesson a few weeks ago, and I said, if your hand was always smacking your face, you'd go get it checked out. Because your body, you got problems in the body. But we got stuff in his body, his visible body, going on worse than that. See? So the thing I'm saying to you, as we put the love for our brethren and for one another, esteeming others more highly than ourselves, preferring one another in love, that's how we develop that for his body. And I'll be honest with you today, and I just got to throw this out here. We used to have a saying back when I was in my 20s and 30s after I started my spiritual walk. We are saved to be saved. See? Yeah, we just... What happens, I think, in the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians... No, it's not the ninth chapter. But there's a scripture that Paul says, know ye not all which run in a race, run all. So everybody's running. We get in the race, we're trying to run. But the thing that happens, and I didn't know much about racing, people can disqualify themselves, get in somebody's lane, bump somebody. You see it in Olympics all the time. They go back and do the instant replay, and they disqualify people after they have seemingly earned a medal. So the thing that I started to realize, we have got to run this race, occupy our specific role in a fashion that does not discourage our brethren. In the last year, I have probably driven 30,000 miles ministering to people who will not assemble themselves together. And you know in the book of Hebrews it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, even the more so you'd see the day approaching. Well, if you can't tell time, he's getting ready to get us out of here. See, these are times you look at the earthquakes, you look at all these other signs, and you just kind of get your finger on the pulse. He's getting us ready to get out of here. But the thing that starts happening, we got folk that would rather stay at home. And I cannot fathom this. I start finding out why people stay at home. See, now I found out on TV, there's a lot of fellas preaching a lot of prosperity stuff. And it makes you feel good. But when I came through Detroit and Pontiac about 2 months ago and saw the level of employment, and I saw all these people who once had jobs and who sowed a seed now have nothing. So what's happening, people have bought on false hope. So what happened? We have a lot of people that are not assembling themselves. And the thing about it, we have to assemble because we help each other to be purified. Scripture says, he that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Purification is an ongoing process. You'll get here next week, and you'll have hopefully gone an inch closer to what, as Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. See? So the thing that starts happening, we have to now go out to the highways and the hedges and get folks assembling themselves today. And if we've been going to a certain assembly for a while and you see an individual who you just haven't seen for maybe 6 months, we need to go out and find that brother. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you, this is just Ella Anderson, so you take it for what it's worth. I could not spiritually live off the diet of TV ministry. Now, maybe some people can. But after you done told me 7 times in 6 hours how I'm going to be rich down here, and I still, my bank account is running negative, and it ain't because I don't have faith. I believe what you said, but I'm just looking at the reality that Key Bank send me every month. Yeah. And in final analysis, the real love for one another, we have got to change our paradigm because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But if you notice, that is kind of the theme today. You know, after talking to a person for a couple minutes, we know instantly whether they're saved or not saved based on the size of their bank account. And it don't work like that. Doesn't work like that in his body. Because what he'll tell you, people go down and give an offering, but there was a woman who had a small amount. And we sometimes get elated over the one who gives the self-seemingly large in quantity, but he said, no, she has given all. And I think in his body where the love comes is when we start giving all. When we began to set, I hate to tell you, he didn't have a Bentley when he was down here. He didn't have a chariot. He didn't have some homes scattered all over the metropolitan Mediterranean area. He got ready to die. I don't think he had a life insurance policy, and he had to borrow a tomb from Joseph Arimathea. So what I'm starting to see, the way to really bring this loving the body together is we have to empty out ourselves. And if all of us would do that, I guarantee you we'll find a level of love, a level of output, a level of greater endearment to him. See? And the guy at the end that's got all the toys, he don't win, because where a man's heart is, or where a man's treasure is, his heart's going to follow that. So we got to get back, folks, to the real things today. And believe me, we all need to work. If you're able-bodied, you need to work, because we just need to work based on what the words say. And you know, I think the Almighty today that, as Shaul wrote, he was a perfect example. He sold tents, Well, but he couldn't he get in a setup or a pyramid where he could have this local assembly feeding that local assembly feeding him? No, that's not what he was about. Because he said the cares of each assembly was on me daily. And I caution young ministers, and I'm going to kind of wrap up, but I caution a lot of young ministers who really want to get in ministry. And the thing I told a pastor one time, and it made him mad, I said, if you pastor right, it will kill you. It will kill you. And he well, you don't understand the spirit. I said, no, I understand the spirit, but I don't understand what we are facing as far as the headwinds. If you do it right, leadership, spiritual leadership will take everything you have. And you won't be sitting up there eating greasy chicken until 12 o'clock noon, getting out of the bed, doing two sermons, then rolling back into bed, No, it will take everything you have. And I think Shaul was a prime example. If you go read the second chapter, Second Corinthians, I think around the 15th chapter, whatever, and he talks about how he was often in perils, beaten 40 stripes, saved one three times, out in the deep. That's ministry. And all this stuff we see on TV, I'm telling you, folks, is a great gulf. They'll have their reward in this life, but I tell you, I think the reward in the life to come is the greater reward. So if you have a heart after him, you'll love the body. And no man ever whipped up on his body. I try to take this thing, keep it, I groom it, you know. I try to keep it looking good and presentable. I do exercise to keep it fit because I want to be able to deliver my part in the body. But if I am physically, spiritually, or mentally reduced, I cannot make my contribution. So, brethren, today, loving the body, dedicated, committed. I mean, you know, come on, somebody. That comes with the territory. So, once again, dedicated, committed, and then again, being able to be a servant. And, you know, we'll beat that to death, but you can't talk being a servant. You got to have some works. And you got to go out there, and there's plenty. He said, what, the harvest is white, but the labor's a few. I mean, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of work that needs to be done today, and it's not so much out in the foreign lands. We got a lot of work in America to do. We got a lot of work in our local communities to do. We got a lot of work in our local assemblies to do if we love the brethren. So I thank you this afternoon. Hey, pray for me. I'm going to head back to Chrysler. And they got a lot of work out there to do, too, because we really need a good manufacturing base in this community. They got some real nice opportunities for business, future business, and we need people to have jobs. So pray for me today.